From the American College of Cardiology, this is Dr. Kim Eagle, ACC.org Editor-in-Chief, with this week's Eagle's Eye View, your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. This week's view takes a look at a very important problem, and that is cryptogenic stroke in patients who have a patent foramen ovale. It's very rare for us to see three major clinical trials on a similar topic occur in the same journal in the same week. But that's what happened this issue of the New England Journal of Medicine, where three trials dealing with this very interesting question were published. And I wanted to talk to you about those trials and then some perspectives that I think are potentially useful for our learning audience. So the first trial I'm going to talk about is the randomized evaluation of recurrent stroke comparing PFO closure to established current standard of care treatment. It's called the RESPECT trial. It was sponsored by St. Jude Medical, and its contribution to the literature, it showed that PFO closure with the Amplatzer PFO occluder appeared to be superior to medical management in reducing recurrent ischemic strokes on long-term follow-up in patients with true cryptogenic stroke and evidence of a PFO. It was randomized, blinded, parallel. Patient ages for inclusion were 18 to 60 years. The patients had to have a documented PFO and a cryptogenic stroke within the last 9 months. There were 980 patients enrolled with a median follow-up of 5 years, and as you'd expect, the median age was young, 46 years, with 45% being female. Usual exclusions, prior cerebral or cardiovascular systemic conditions that might be a mechanism for the prior stroke, contraindications to antiplatelet therapy, anatomical contraindications to have a device placement, any other reason for a limited life expectancy. And the primary endpoint was recurrence of non-fatal ischemic stroke or fatal ischemic stroke or early post-randomization death, which in this trial was in the device group within 30 days after implant, and in the other group, the medical group, 45 days after randomization. Also, endpoints of interest were complete closure of the defect and absence of recurrent stroke or cardiovascular death and absence of any TIA. So patients who had a documented PFO and evidence of a cryptogenic stroke were randomized to either percutaneous closure with the Amplatzer PFO occluder or medical management, which included 46% with aspirin, warfarin about 25%, clopidogrel about 14%, aspirin and diprotomol 8%, and aspirin and clopidogrel about 6%. Patients who had the PFO closure device received aspirin 81 to 325 milligrams for 6 months, and clopidogrel for a single month. This was an event-driven trial, so the trial was stopped when a total number of events was met, and that was at a time when 900 patients had been enrolled at nearly 70 centers in North America, about 499 patients to PFO closure and 481 patients to medical therapy. The patients, as noted, were young, so only 7% had diabetes. Only 13% were smokers, a very small percentage had CAD, and about 23% had had a previous cardiovascular event. The procedure was successful in 96% of patients, and dropout was more common in the medical arm, about 18% versus 9%. So over a median follow-up of 2.1 years, the endpoint all recurrent strokes was relatively similar between the two groups, 0.66 per 100 patient years in the closure group versus 1.38 in the medical therapy group. This was a p-value of 0.8. Not significant, however, potentially a trend. The event rates, interesting, were not symmetric. In other words, comparing closure to medical therapy, the event rates were 1.3% versus 1.7% at a year, 1.6% versus 3% at 2 years, and 2.2% versus 6.4% at 5 years. So this suggested actually overall a benefit favoring PFO closure, a hazard ratio of about 0.4, which suggests a significant reduction. When they looked at subgroups, and this is important, there was a trend toward more benefit in patients who had a larger shunt or atrial septal aneurysms, and that was potentially useful in selection. AFib was noted in about 0.6 of patients in both arms. Procedural complications were pretty rare. So the interpretation was that the RESPECT trial suggests that PFO closure with the MPLATS or PFO occluder is superior to medical therapy in reducing recurrent strokes in patients with presumed cryptogenic stroke and evidence of a PFO on long-term follow-up at 5 years. Based on this extended follow-up, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration did approve the MPLATS or PFO occluder in this past year, year and a half. Also, the study strongly suggested a strong collaboration between neurologists and cardiologists to exclude other causes of stroke before considering placing a device. So that's the first and the largest of the three trials. Now let's move to a trial which is called Peyton Foramen Ovale Closure, or Anticoagulants versus Antiplatelet Therapy to Prevent Stroke Recurrence, the CLOSE trial. The trial sponsor was the French Ministry of Health. And this study had actually three groups: patients who had no contraindications to closure or an anticoagulant were randomized to PFL closure versus anticoagulation versus antiplatelet therapy. Group two, these were patients who had contraindications to anticoagulation, and they were randomized to PFO closure versus antiplatelet therapy. Group three, patients who had contraindications to closure and were randomized either to anticoagulation or antiplatelet therapy. There were 32 French sites, two in Germany. The number of enrollees were 663. Similar follow-up, about 5 years. Similar mean age, 43 years in this case, and about 42% were women, and very low rate of diabetes. Patients had to have had a cryptogenic stroke. If they had an associated atrial aneurysm or large intraatrial shunt that is greater than 30 microbubbles in the left atrium within three cardiac cycles, this was part of the inclusion criteria. So the primary outcome was the number of fatal or non-fatal ischemic strokes. And there were zero in the PFO closure group versus 14 in the antiplatelet-only group, a highly significant reduction. Also, if they looked at anticoagulation versus antiplatelet therapy, there was not a significant difference between those folks. Interesting point. There was a higher incidence of atrial fibrillation in the group that got PFO closure, 4.6% versus 0.9% in the antiplatelet-only group. And these patients ended up being treated with anticoagulation. So their interpretation was that among patients who have cryptogenic stroke and high-risk features, that is an atrial septal aneurysm or large right-to-left shunt, that PFO closure was superior to antiplatelet therapy in preventing a stroke. And the differences between anticoagulation or antiplatelet therapy were inconclusive. There was noted a higher risk of atrial fibrillation in patients who had the PFO closure device. So that was the second trial. That was called CLOSE. And now we'll move to the third trial. The third trial was titled Peyton Foramen Ovale Closure or Antiplatelet Therapy for Cryptogenic Stroke, the REDUCE trial. It was sponsored by Gore, and it compared the Gore septal occluder, PFO closure, versus medical therapy for reducing ischemic stroke. So all the patients that had to have had a cryptogenic stroke or TIA in the past, they were randomized 2-to-1 to undergo either PFO closure or antiplatelet therapy. The PFO closure group was about 441, the antiplatelet group 223. PFO closure was initially performed with the Helix septal occluder through 2012, and then the Cardioform septal occluder from late 2012 onward. A total of 664 patients, 3.2 years median follow-up, again, mean age 45%, female 40, diabetes only 4%. Age 18 to 59, And the cryptogenic stroke that led to their randomization had to be within a half a year. And the PFO had to be associated with an evident right-to-left shunt. So the endpoints for this trial, if we looked at recurrent clinical ischemic stroke, PFO closure group 1.4% versus 5.4% in the medical arm, new brain infarction, that is a clinical ischemic stroke or silent brain infarction, 5.7% versus 11.3%, again suggesting benefit. Secondary events, again, they saw an increased risk of atrial fibrillation or flutter in the group getting the septal occluder, 6.6% versus 0.4%. So the reduced trial again suggested that PFO closure, this time with the Gore septal occluder, was superior to medical therapy in reducing recurrent strokes in patients with presumed cryptogenic stroke and evidence of a clear PFO. So it's quite interesting. All three studies showed similar benefit, I think, and reducing risk. There was a nice accompanying editorial in the journal which talked about the trials. And I think it's important to note a couple of things. First of all, the largest study, which we talked about first, called RESPECT, there was about a 50% risk reduction in terms of ischemic stroke, but the statistical significance was borderline. And the reason for this is because of the overall low event rates. So there were 0.61 per 100 patient years in the device group and 1.25 per 100 patient years in the medical group. What that means is that you would need to treat 27 individuals with the device to prevent a single stroke at 5 years. And the extended follow-up suggested that you might need to treat 43 to prevent one recurrent event at 5 years. Also, it looks like there were small increases in venous thromboembolic events and atrial fibrillation in the group that got devices. So clearly, the low absolute risk of recurrent stroke and some uncertainty about the magnitude of risk reduction makes the decision a little less clear than the trials might at first suggest. Clearly, if you have a large atrial septal aneurysm or a more significant shunt, then that would, I think, be an important consideration, as would age. A couple of sort of take-home messages. The first would be that one should probably, before going down the path of putting in a septal occluder, make sure that the patient's had MRI or CT imaging of the brain to exclude small vessel disease as a cause for stroke. Clearly, a TEE should be done to exclude other intracardiac embolic sources not related to a PFO, like, for instance, aortic arch atheromata, for example. Some might suggest that one would do prolonged cardiac rhythm monitoring first to detect or look for subclinical atrial fibrillation. And I would think that doing arterial imaging of the brain to look for atherosclerosis or other vascular diseases, arterial dissection, would make sense. Some might argue that a search for a hypercoagulable state would be indicated, although the yield of this is not particularly clear. And these were messages that were offered by colleagues that provide an editorial in the same issue of the New England Journal, Drs. Farb, Ibrahim, and Zuckerman. So I think in summary, we have, in an area where there was much more uncertainty, three trials that remarkably have similar conclusions in terms of potential risk reduction of treating patients with a PFO and cryptogenic stroke with closure of their patent foramen ovale. Thankfully, that in these younger patients, the overall risks are low, and so an individualized approach is important. It's important for cardiovascular specialists and neurologists to be on the same team and making sure the assessment is thorough and then providing appropriate follow-up. So last week in the podcast, we went over actually four recent guideline updates that were released at the ESC. And ironically, this week we had three clinical trials issued in the same journal with an excellent editorial on a topic that we all face once in a while and is important for us. So I want to thank you for listening to the Eagle's Eye View. This is your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. And all of this can be found on the ACC's website. You can find us online or wherever you get your podcasts. And until next week, I hope you have an excellent week. Thank you.